AFRS Sports Radio.
Greetings once again, sport fans, and welcome to another AFRS Sports Reel. 15 action-packed minutes featuring highlights and sidelights from the world of sports. Our commentators today, coming your way with camera angles on events and personalities from the sports parade, are Bud Morris and Bob Kelly. Here's our first sports close-up for the day, and our old pal Bob Kelly to tell us about an athlete of long ago named Pat O'Day.
It has been said of Patrick O'Day that he was a wrecker of fine football teams back in the late 90s. He was a kicking specialist in the day when football was a rushing, bruising game. In those days, 1897, 98, and 99, a team was required to advance the ball 5 yards in 3 downs. Therefore, the punt was rarely used except as a defensive tactic on 3rd down. But with O'Day gaining huge yardage on every exchange, the University of Wisconsin developed the kicking game, reserving the rushing attack until within scoring distance. Pat O'Day learned about kicking as a rugby star in Australia, and he put his knowledge to good use when he came to the United States and entered the University of Wisconsin. He was seldom permitted to carry the ball, as the Badgers were careful not to take a chance on losing their sensational kicker. As Wisconsin's fullback, O'Day was playing his last season with the Badgers. The annual game against Minnesota came in mid-November. The first half was a scoreless tie. The teams were evenly matched, and in that bruising ball game, neither team seemed to have enough edge at any time to score. And then came the second half. The Golden Gophers had the ball deep in their own territory. Wisconsin stopped Minnesota cold for 2 downs, and the Gophers were forced to kick. The kick was bad, and that was a break for the Badgers. Pat O'Day, in the safety position, was waiting for the ball in the mid-stripe. He signaled for a fair catch. And on the next play, Pat dropped the ball and attempted a drop kick of 50 yards. Well, the fans came to their feet for what looked like a perfect kick. From all appearance, the ball was traveling true to the mark. And then as the ball reached the goalpost, there was a sigh of woe. The kick had missed by inches. That gave the ball to Minnesota. But again, the Badger defense stopped the Gophers cold. And again, Minnesota was forced to kick. Pat O'Day was standing back on his own 40-yard line, waiting for the ball to come down. The Minnesota man was on top of Pat as the ball came nearer and nearer to O'Day's arms. The Gopher player undoubtedly expected O'Day to again signal for a fair catch because he waited, was completely off guard when the Wisconsin back started to run. O'Day, with the ball tucked safely under his arm, sidestepped his man and headed straight for the sidelines. As he ran to his left, several other Minnesota players moved down the field and began to close in on O'Day. But Pat outmaneuvered them all, sidestepping and weaving. And then Pat O'Day again did the unexpected. The kicking kangaroo was a right-footed kicker, and he was running to his left. And from this difficult position, he dropped the ball and swung his leg. His toe met the ball, and it sailed through the air. It was a tremendous kick, traveling over 60 yards. The spectators came to their feet. But this time, there was a great ovation for the Wisconsin kicker. The ball traveled squarely through the uprights and over the crossbar. It was one of the greatest drop kicks in the history of football. But if the crowd was surprised, Minnesota was stunned. The shock Gophers completely bogged down. Pat O'Day's kick had broken the heart of Minnesota that day. It had been an even game up to that point, but from there on in, it was all Wisconsin. The Golden Gophers were a beaten ball club. Field goals counted 5 points in those days, and that was enough to win as Minnesota was held scoreless. But the Badgers went on to chalk up another 14 points. And that kick by Pat O'Day went down into the record books as one of the longest of all time. But it is even more remarkable when you consider the trying conditions under which it was executed. Perhaps that's why the Minnesota players lost heart, as they watched that ball sail 60 yards through the air and over the crossbar.
Thank you, Bob Kelly. Coming up next is an extra special treat for you Sports Reel fans. It's an exclusive interview with one of America's greatest all-time athletes. While playing football for the University of Michigan, he was chosen All-American twice. Then, after returning to civilian life following 4 years as a pilot in Uncle Sam's Army Air Corps, he proceeded to burn up the National League as a freshman in pro football. And right now, it's my pleasure to have you all meet Tommy Harmon.
Thanks, Bud. It's swell to be here.
Well, Tommy, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions that I'm sure will be of interest to our Sports Reel fans.
Shoot, Bud.
Well, first of all, Tom, here's a very problematical question. If you were to break into the clear from the 50-yard line and there was only one man between yourself and touchdown territory, what one player in football today would you fear the most?
Well, that's rather easy to answer, Bud, because the one man who I would fear the most happens to be playing for the Los Angeles Rams at the present time. His name is Bob Hoffman of the University of Southern California. I think that Bob Hoffman is one of the finest defensive football players in America today, if not the finest. He's a very surefire tackler. He doesn't miss often, whether it's close up behind the line or in the open field. And when he socks you, brother, you really know you've been rocked.
Well, Tommy, I imagine there are a number of people in Los Angeles, quite a few, who will agree with you on your choice, and also some of his opponents. How do you think the 11 best pro players at any given time would make out against the 11 best collegiate football players of that same period?
Well, I don't think it would even be a contest, Bud. Perhaps last year I might have been able to give you some type of an argument on that, but after having spent some time in the National Football League, I'd say that the one thing the pros have that the collegians do not have is experience. And when it comes right down to the final tab, that's what counts in a football game or any other sport. The pro boys know how to do things, do them quick, do them easy, and do them fast with the least exertion. As a result of that, the college ball players might be running all over the lot, but they wouldn't be getting anywhere with the pros. I don't even think it would be a contest where the two teams, mythical as it may seem, ever to meet on a football field. The pros just have too much experience to match the college boys, and for that reason, I think they'd win easily.
You might say the same thing would be true of any other sport, golf, baseball.
That's right. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Experience always counts, and you can't get that out of books or any place else. You've got to get it through experience.
And you're a man who should know. Tom, your football accomplishments have been so great that most people have lost sight of the fact that you were an outstanding basketball player at Michigan. If I'm not mistaken, you were chosen all-conference forward in the Big Ten for 2 years, and you led the league in points scored your senior year. Tommy, what do you think of the basketball situation this winter?
Well, I think that there's one group of people that are going to benefit from the basketball situation this winter, Bud, and by that I mean the fans. Basketball has really come into its own in the last 2 years in the United States. There have been a lot of people who really enjoy the game and a lot more people who have never seen a great deal of basketball who are going to take it up. The new professional leagues are starting in Chicago, in the East, and in the West, and on the West Coast, and everything else. A lot of great players, a lot of great names in basketball as there are in football. As you well know, it's my personal opinion that basketball, as it is played today, without the center jump, is the most grueling of all sports so far as physicalness is concerned. You've got to really be in top shape to play top basketball. And I think the fans all throughout the country are going to benefit greatly by the boys who are already now swishing them through the nets. Should be a great season all the way around.
Do you think basketball ever will come back in popularity to the prominence it enjoyed before the great rise of football as a national sport?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. I think the truest indication of that is the fact that most colleges throughout the country today find that basketball is self-supporting, and that's very unusual due to the fact that football usually supported all the rest of the athletic endeavors, such as baseball, track, and so forth on down the line. But basketball today, I understand, is self-supporting, and that's certainly an indication that the fans are liking it. They're paying money to come and see it, and it's going to be a great game.
Tom, I also understand that you were quite a baseball star during your school years. Tell me, how do you think the pennant races are going to stack up this year?
Well, I haven't been able to find out too much about the pennant races, Bud, because, as you know, right now is that good old hot stove league. Everybody's arguing who's going to do what and where and why and so forth. I imagine that the two teams that were in the pennant race and the World Series this past year will be right up there knocking on the door. The Cardinals with men like Musial and fellas like that, the Red Sox with Williams and Dora and those guys. You can't ever overlook ballplayers of that talent. Unless they are sold down the river or traded for some other ballplayers, I don't see how they can help but be right back in there knocking on the door. I do, however, look for a great rejuvenation among the New York Yankees. Everybody remembers the famous killer's role of the Yankees. They're going to be back in there next year. They've got a very smart man in Larry McPhail in there running them, and they should be back in there winning ball games again.
One last question, Tom. We've covered baseball and basketball. Let's get back to football for a moment. Is there any one play of your collegiate football career that stands out in your mind as the most thrilling?
Well, that's very easy for me to answer, Bud, because it is a play I remember well. Although it happened 6 years ago, it wasn't a long run, as a lot of people might expect. I did get a great deal of satisfaction out of making a long run in college, but I think the greatest satisfaction I actually had in my football experience happened in the final game of my senior year when we played Ohio State at Columbus. To go back into the story a little bit, we had a boy who was playing left halfback for the University of Michigan during my sophomore year, the time I was playing right halfback or blocking back. His name was Paul Cromer. He's from Lorain, Ohio, and a very, very fine running back. In the open field, Paul Cromer was just like a scared rabbit. Ran the 100 and almost 9-7 or under. He could really pick him up and lay him down when it was necessary. Paul Cromer played left halfback for the University of Michigan all throughout our sophomore year. And the beginning of our junior year, he had the misfortune to happen to catch one of those trick knees. It put him out of commission all the rest of our junior year, and he wasn't invited back for the squad come the senior year. Coach Chrysler didn't want to take the chance of hurting his leg anymore. Cromer came back on his own, stuck it out there, played good football, and showed that he could really pick him up and let him go when he had to. It was our last game as our senior year. Paul was a senior. He was an Ohio boy, so Fritz Chrysler started him at right halfback in the game against Ohio State. Played a swell football game, and after we'd marched down the field to our first touchdown, Paul Cromer was standing back in the safety position. He caught a long, booming punt. I was lucky enough to get two men on one block, and Paul Cromer ran that ball back 84 yards for a touchdown. I think that one play was the play that broke Ohio State's back. They didn't have any fight left after that, and it made a new man out of Paul Cromer. He looked like he was going to have a little bitter feeling against football before that game, but after that game, he changed a great deal. And I was very happy that I was able to do a little bit towards helping the kid along the way that way.
Well, Tommy, it's good to hear you speak of the blocking back. So much of the credit is given to the man with the ball these days, and a number of people, when they go out there Saturday to the stadium to see a game, keep their eyes so much on the ball that they miss some of the most thrilling plays of the game and watching those backs take out the opposition.
Well, that's very true, Bud. Unfortunately, the newspaper boys always put the headlines, always give the write-up to the fellow that crosses the last white stripe, and it's not true because football, indeed, is a team game. It takes 11 men to make a team. It takes 11 men to make a touchdown. Those boys up in front aren't knocking them down. It makes not the slightest difference how great a back you are. You've really got to be able to go. When those boys knock them down, that's when you work together as a team, and that's when you win football games.
Well, thank you very much, Tommy. It's been swell having you here with us on the Sports Reel, and we enjoyed that thrilling story. Can we count on hearing from you again soon?
Sure thing, Bud, anytime at all.
Thanks again, Tom Harmon.
And our thanks to you, Bud Morris, for bringing Tommy Harmon up to our Sports Reel microphone. The clock on the wall tells us that time's running short, though, fellas, so we'd better bring the curtain down on this session. It's been highlights and sidelights from the sporting scene with Bud Morris and Bob Kelly. We'll return soon with another thrilling edition of the AFRS Sports Reel. Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.